Welcome, welcome, welcome back again. This is your host, Kai, again, codename Kai. We have an amazing surprise for you, but I know you're all thirsty, so you're going to have to wait because you have to be in line, just like in school. Mama, how was your new year?
It was wonderful.
Yeah?
Anything it was special? Wonderful. Oh, yeah, I did amazing amazing things with my personal time.
Okay, that's good. And it cleans or just...
Oh, yeah. I prepare myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually to receive this new year. So absolutely. I am excited.
I'm so happy for you. You look good. Look at you. You got your hair done, wearing all these glasses. Look, I'm over here just giving all these props. Amazing. But even for me, I mean, we had a little gathering, you know. We had family that came over. You know, I got drunk. You know, every time you have family, somebody wants to get drunk and get loud. And once it got to three and I told him, get out of my house. I think you've had enough. But it was a really good celebration amongst family. And, and we just kept it to ourselves.
Yes.
And then New Year, my goal, I had a set a goal for myself. I say for this year, I used to practice, you know how I used to do my divine silence, right? Mm-hmm. Saying less. But this year, I feel like I want to be selfish. Not in a negative way, in a positive way to say, you know what? I have taken care of everybody. I think it's time for me to take care of me.
Absolutely.
It's all deserving, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that, right?
No.
Because I know in our last podcast, we spoke about that, right? We mentioned that, and I say, I think this is the year for me to be selfish in a good way. Just take care of me.
Absolutely.
You know, put me first. I think it's important, people. It's always important to put you first.
Yes.
Mentally speaking, sometimes it could be exhausting when you're putting other people. Not in a bad way. It's always good to help people. I'm not saying that you should not help people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying once in a while, selfish means go out, go have a drink, get a glass of wine, get a glass of water.
Spend some time alone.
Read, meditate. I don't run. I don't know. Do anything.
Reevaluate your life, where you at, where are you heading?
That's what I mean by being selfish, not in a negative way, just in a positive way to take care of you too. You know, it's very important. You can't just be giving people 90 and then, you know, you keeping the 10. It's got to be now change it maybe to 80-20 or maybe 85 to 15. You know, you take the 85 and let other people take the 15. It's so important.
You know?
The world is changing. You need change too. Take care of you.
And we talked about this in our previous episode talking about New Year resolution and the goal settings. So please make sure you go back on our social media. We are in all social media platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and you will be able to listen to that amazing episode when share all our insights.
Absolutely. And who are we giving out a shout out to, as we always do?
Adama University.
Perfect.
We appreciate you. So thank you so much, Adama.
Thank you so much for that. So today, let's get to it. We have an amazing surprise. let me fix my voice real quick. Let me put on. Okay, are you listening? Are you ready? Perfect. So we have here an amazing surprise for you all. We have Dr. Carrie Strayer. She is originally from Central Ohio. After completing her educations, she has taught in Indiana, Oklahoma before returning back to Ohio. She has been teaching in communication department at Audubon University for over 25 years. People, over 25 years.
Amazing.
She teaches courses in teamwork, leadership, communication theories, and many, many more things. She has consulted with a lot of nonprofits organizations for many, many years. More recently, she has been teaching courses in conscious communication, and I cannot hear it. Let me tell you, I don't think you people understand what conscious communication is.
No.
So, and this is to hospital personnel again. So, again, she's up there. She's an icon, respectful icon. In her spare time, Dr. Carrie and her husband enjoy fishing, spending time with their dog, two dogs, and three amazing cats. How are you, Dr. Carrie?
I am great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. And I loved what you were saying originally. If you don't take care of yourself,
you're
not bringing your best self to 100%. Help other people. So absolutely.
We really do appreciate you coming in and you know, just you having a conversation with us. Well, you heard about discussing New Year and how as human beings, we always have those. Well, my New Year, I don't want to do this. What is yours, if I may ask? What's been things that you want to do maybe to change or not change in your life?
Well, I'll say a little bit more later, but I have moved into the realm of hospital communication, that sort of thing. And so I'm continuing to work on some studies that I've begun.
I love that.
Actually started with a class this semester. We're looking at the epidemic of loneliness.
That is
across the country.
Interesting.
Post-pandemic and with social media and with all that.
We were just talking about that last time.
So we're putting together a study on that right now.
But I didn't know that will be involved with, I mean, I do know you have a PhD, but what did you study your PhD in, if I may ask again?
Well, I'll start with the undergrad. Okay. I was a history major and thought I was going to be a lawyer and worked for a lawyer a couple of years and decided that was not a great fit.
Right.
So I ended up doing a master's in political communication. So looking at speech making, campaigning, and then went on to do a PhD thinking I would continue with that, but ended up doing a turn into organizational communication, how organizations work.
Beautiful.
When I realized in particular I could look at religious organizations, nonprofits, other kind of things than the big corporate world for the most part.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's gotta be challenging in a world that's that I don't want to say can be challenging for women because it is at times. What's been we're just gonna get I'm gonna jump right to it. What's been challenging for you, with especially with the changes that's happening in just your field? What do you think that's been the challenges? What do you think that's been the most rewarding? Just the pros and cons.
Yeah, one of the reasons I love and chose communication is that I could, if you will, dabble in a lot of things.
Yes.
I love history. Okay. I'm very interested in religious history. I like political science. I like a number of different things. And so communication is in some ways an umbrella of how we interact
with
each other.
But you can cover a lot of different fields. Sure. And so that's why I love the field. But what has changed? I mean, absolutely all of the social media and the technology.
Yeah.
I was hearing on my way in this morning about kids wanting to buy typewriters.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it was so old school. And I thought, wow, I wrote my papers in college on a typewriter. But, I mean, social media has absolutely changed everything.
Everything.
But one of the interesting things about that is, you know, we're gonna talk in a bit about public speaking is – since this generation is on their devices so often, they very often have lost the capacity to do small talk, to do chit-chat like we're doing right here. Mm-hmm. They've lost the capacity to have face-to-face conflict because when you break up, you do it on, you know, Instagram. And when you, you know, have a fight with your friend, you do it on, you know,
social
YouTube
media.
Or some kind of social media. And so... I like to tell the president of the university here, and as you said, I've been here a long time. I've gone through three presidents.
Oh, wow.
But the president currently is very articulate, very great at giving speeches and that sort of thing. But I've kind of joked with him that my students run the university.
Wow.
Because they can talk.
Yes.
And so they're the tour guides, and they're the resident advisors, and they're the, you know, student government president and all that. So that's such a critical skill these days, even with everything that social media brings you.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that kind of scares me, too, when it comes. I mean, please, people, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying social media is a bad thing, but I think, like, do you think maybe human beings, as fast as technology is changing when it comes to communication, maybe we should figure out a way to work balance because we're not doing that? Because I feel like a lot of us kids, even myself included, there are times where I have to catch myself. Like, okay, Kai, you need a break. Read a book or, like, relax. Yeah. And sometimes she'll give me a hard time, like, hey, like, you're what are you doing? Like, you need moments to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think what's the best advice would you give to those that want to get out of this loophole that they're in and they don't know how to escape that?
Well, you know, one thing we're doing with some of this work in the medical field is people are spending way less time outside or exercising or taking care of their physical self.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would certainly tell people, you know, figure out a way to, like you said, limit yourself, limit your time on these devices. and, you know, spend some time interacting face to face. That's part of the loneliness.
Yes.
People aren't gathering face to face anymore. Mm-hmm. So find ways of doing that. Get off your phone and sending text. Talk to someone. You know, phone calls don't happen nearly as often.
Right.
And one of the things that's important to note is that the different generations have had different experiences. It comes into their life later, the social media and all that. Mm-hmm. So your grandmother, maybe she's unusual. She's great at social media. But my guess is she'd really like a phone call from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, kind of re-engage with talking to people, re-engage with physical activity and moving around. I was just talking to somebody who was saying, well, I'm not sure about this whole TikTok thing, maybe leaving.
Right.
But on the other hand, I can just get drawn into that and end up spending hours watching TikTok.
Yes.
So, you know, figure out if there's a way to put a time limit on that.
Yeah.
Because as entertaining as those things are, they're not really necessarily helping you in particular. Although, I will jump back on that one and say my husband has learned to do a number of things using YouTube videos.
Okay.
I mean, they're brilliant. He learned to do woodworking and, you know, he's looked at all kinds of fishing techniques that we take up. But, you know, so there are things to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, you just cannot spend so much time. We used to worry about people watching TV too often or too long.
Yeah.
Now it's really spending time on their devices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When one of my other a question that I have for you in the world of AI and technology, how is AI or technology transformation impacting communication practices and research? So what would you say when we look at those things as far as communication? Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a benefit to that?
You know, it's funny because for the last probably year, 2 years, half of my emails are AI is going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
And the other half are, here's how to use AI in your classroom.
Right.
So I think we just need to be very aware of how we're using it. I just read an article that they said, college students, if you're using AI to write all your papers, you're spending a lot of money and you're going to come out not personally knowing the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you've gotten, you know.
And improving your ways of writing.
Yeah.
Your ways of writing, your ways of speaking.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. A good friend of mine is a top official at a big university, and he said he was just curious. So he put in 6 talking points for a speech he was going to give and ask it to write his speech. And he said it was really pretty good. But, you know, I would say it's a tool like a lot of things, like a calculator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You still need to know the base level information, the base level ways of doing things to do reasonability checks, right? I've also seen AI say things that are ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the background knowledge, you don't know ridiculous.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm also, especially with now that one thing that I also wanted to mention, I don't know if you kind of did a bit of a study on this. I think it's called ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids are using it too. And they're paying money for that.
Yeah.
Do you think that would be a tool kids are using too, as far as, would that be considered this plagiarism, you think? How would we consider that? I mean, technically.
We actually just got a note from our administration saying,
boy,
here are 3 options. You can say AI, you know, is out there, but using it will be considered plagiarism. You could say AI is out there. Let it help you. Let it not do everything. Or we're expecting you to use AI, and we're going to talk about how to use it responsibly.
Right.
So there, I mean, we're being asked to think about how we'd like our students to interact with it.
Right. Gotcha. So because I just want to understand if this is going to be such an issue in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I'm asking this question, especially as far as communication, because AI can pretty much, I don't want to say it can do everything. It's almost becoming like a guide to us, right? Like, hey, I need answers. Mm-hmm. Can you give me these answers? And do you think it's going to go too far? Or do you think maybe there will be a government limitation? Because, you know, federal, they're always trying to limit certain things to make sure that we don't overdo it. Because legally, I'm sure it's going to have to happen, just kind of like we do with AI. But the reason why I'm asking this question is just that I'm noticing this, a lot of tech companies are spending billions of dollars, sort of like adding AI to their businesses because they want to make it more convenient, eliminate the middleman, and so they can save more money. My thing is, do you think this could be an issue in the future for us when it just comes, just in general? Do you think that will be an issue or maybe an advantage in a way, especially for up and coming, the next generation?
Mm-hmm. One of the ways that AI really worries me, and I think we would call this AI, but digital manipulation, is making things that are blatantly false, but that you can't tell.
No. You can tell.
That's very disturbing to me. In terms of writing or running factories and all this kind of thing, I'm a little concerned, I guess, that it could potentially kind of create a bigger distinction between two levels of society, those who have learned, those who have gotten an educational degree and kind of have an understanding of AI and can use it, manipulate it in a positive way, and the folks that are just kind of on the on the end of assuming it's great, but not really fully understanding its power. It could potentially displace people in jobs, much like we thought, you know, that robotic kind of things might do. So I think we always just need to be very aware. Now, you said about, you know, should the government regulate it? It's going to be really hard to regulate. Right?
Because there's a lot of money involved.
There is a lot of money involved. Now, here's another just totally interesting tangent. I guess AI takes about 10 times the energy to run as just regular Google or something like that. And so a lot of these high-tech companies are talking about putting in small nuclear plants and things to run their AI potential. So, you know, again, that's something at least to be aware and think about is what's the impact of going to an all AI world right?
It's quite scary. I mean, I'm not here to, those who are listening, this is not a takeaway to your daily life because I know some of you love AI. This is just a way just to educate, please. We have a professional. I think her intake is very important. I mean, we're talking about 20 plus years of teaching. So if anyone will know, will be her. So please don't take it personal. I don't want to see any angry mobs. Why am I AI? No, no one wants to take away your AI. We just wanting to make sure that she's giving us the knowledge and the education that we needed. Because, again, this can not, having someone like this is very important, people. You have to understand that. In the world that we live in, would we have somebody like you again? I don't know, Doc. I have no idea if we ever have somebody like you. Because I feel like true knowledge is dying.
Yes.
And I hate to say this.
Yes.
You know, even in communication, true knowledge is dying because we're relying so much on AI and technology. Even as I'm reading through some of the stuff that I wrote and that I was doing some research, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't even know what to ask you because what I'm getting, it's not from the past, it's from the today. Like in the world of communication, this is where it is. It's like digital, 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 digital. And how do I ask somebody like you who has had this experience for so long, do you think it's important for us, especially when you're teaching? Okay, let's just talk about your teaching method for you. Are you focusing more in the past, present, and future, or are you meeting yourself? Are you kind of balancing when it comes to your students? Like, where are you, especially in the world of technology today?
Well, I teach what all of our sophomores take, a communication theory course. And of course, a lot of these are based or were created, you know, decades ago. Do they Do they still have relevance? And one of the assignments I give my students is I say, is public speaking dead? Right? Do we not need to do that anymore because of all the tools and all of the technology we have? And I would say nearly to a person, they come in back and say, no, it's not dead. It's just changed. You know, and, you know, you will still have to do things like presentations at work or announcements for an organization you're a part of. But all of the stuff that happens online for the influencers, for the creators, I mean, that is a form of public speaking. It's not often in front of a live audience. So for many people, that feels a lot less vulnerable. But you are still crafting a message, fitting it to your audience, presenting it. You can do a little bit more editing if you've got the time, but you are still having to articulate what you know to a particular group.
I love that. How has the field of communication evolved since you began your academic career?
Well, I think one of the great things is it's taking in a lot more perspectives. And so not just younger scholars who are doing a lot more with technology, but much more diverse scholars. I love that my national convention involves, you know, groups studying the whole world. And that they're looking at all different sorts of populations and using all different kinds of methods, because I think that's how we get at truth. Some people like to do research that they give a survey and then run the numbers, and other people like to do interviews and that kind of thing. And I think that that needs to be a conversation back and forth between those on, you know, what kind of things are going on.
I love that. I love that. I'm sorry. I'm just so captivated by you. I'm over here like, please keep how do you see communication theories being applied in the real world settings, such as in workplace or healthcare environment? Because you mentioned about conscious communication. So that's kind of, I really want to go back to that. So
which we're going to be having an episode pretty soon to talk more inside about that.
But yeah, should I repeat my question again? So how do you see communications theories being applied in real world settings, such as in workplace or healthcare environments?
Well, I'll just say a little about conscious communication. And what we mean by that, because it's actually really connected into the technologies. When we got just plain email, right? Bosses, other folks assumed, you send out an email, I've done my job, I've communicated. Well, I don't know if you read every single one of your emails thoroughly. I certainly don't. I pick and choose, but part of conscious communication is not only sending the communication out, but checking to see if it was received. And
interesting.
You know, part of the reason we're doing this in hospitals is it becomes really important. Did your patient understand what they need to go home and do, how they need to take their medication, how they need to care for themselves? If you just throw it out and then assume that they did, real possibility for problems. So, you know, I would say, so how is my teaching? I probably end up talking more to the students than I should, but I also try to do a sort of platonic method, which I ask them questions. How does this impact you? How are you using this in your life? I actually give almost no tests. With all the technology we have, if you want to know something, you can usually type it into Google and you got it at your fingertips. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think you should know the basic stuff. But what I'm interested in knowing is, can you apply the things we talk about? Can you apply this notion that when you try to persuade somebody, it's helpful to the extent that you can, that you know where they are, what their position is to begin with, because people will typically not make huge swings, but they'll make small incremental changes in the way they think about things. And so, you know, that's one persuasion theory that we talk about. So I think being able to apply things is going to be the test of the educated person. You know, can they learn something and then take it and improve their things that they're doing, their you know,
their skills,
their tasks, their skills, right?
I love that.
That's wonderful.
That's beautiful.
So, Carrie, now that you mention about being more persuasive, let's driving into the topic of, you know, your experience when it comes to communication and the tools that we can utilize to be able to create a persuasive speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm very curious. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think, especially with not just students, anyone out there that's interested, what tools do you think would be far more important? Let's start with the basics and then maybe give us some insight.
Mm-hmm. I would say one important thing is think about what you know.
Yes.
What is your experience? What are the sports you've been engaged in? What are the classes that have really intrigued you? What has been your personal experience with religion or with philosophy, you know, different kinds of areas? So figuring out what kind of things you're, you know, kind of an expert on.
The topic.
The topic. So that, you know, you can, you know, somebody asks you to get up and talk about something, you can pull from your own knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Public speaking takes practice.
Yes.
You do need to speak with other people. There are certain kinds of things. One of the things we used to talk about that I don't hear about as much, but certainly still exist, are vocalized pauses. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Americans don't like dead air.
Yes.
And so to keep our conversational turn, we fill it up with all those kind of things that don't really mean much. That's something you can practice, that you can record yourself, listen to, and kind of help your speech. My own sister is a very smart person. She's a social worker, but she can come off sounding a little like an airhead.
Mm.
So she came to me once and we kind of talked about how do you lower the timbre of your voice so you sound more authoritative? How do you sound confident? Mm. You know the stuff that you're coming with. How do you bring that in a way that people understand?
Yeah.
Also, you know, practicing organizing your thoughts.
Ooh. Very important.
Part of what technology has done to us is reduced our attention span, right? You think about, if you go way back in history, there were preachers who would go on for 2-3 hours on a Sunday morning, and that was people's entertainment. Well, that's absolutely not the case anymore. But we've even moved from the 22 minutes of what a typical half-hour show is with commercials to, 4 or 5 minutes of, of you being pretty interesting for people to stay tuned in. And so you need to be able to present your opening thoughts in a way that capture people, get their attention, and then organize them in a way that they're going to be able to take them away. You can't just throw out a string of interesting ideas. I mean, you can.
Yes.
But what will be their takeaway?
Mm-hmm.
If you want people to take away what it is you're saying, you need to come up with 3-4 really solid points that you're going to build around. And so, you know, that's part of the basic idea of thinking about how to organize things. Mm-hmm. It's not just to help you, give you a roadmap. It's also to help your listeners take your major points away.
Yeah. And understand the message that you're trying to communicate.
Right. Yeah. I have one more question to ask you. Go ahead, Mom.
No, go ahead.
It's just the last question that I have. It just, one thing that my last question, because I am big in, I'm a content creator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Instagram. Of course, I have a limit how I use it. I have a massive, massive follower on Instagram. My Facebook, so as that. I'm trying to see just my social media presence is very big, but I also know how to kind of balance it. I guess just because I'm a millennial, because I've seen technology, so I understand like, hey, it's time for me to take a break and then maybe watch television or just cook, right? What do you think for somebody like, what can I use? What other tools should I be using, especially in communication, just to better myself? I'm really curious.
Well, what I would say right now is that you're quite articulate, so that's a lovely thing.
Thank you.
The other thing I would say for people to think about is how they present themselves physically.
Yes.
Ooh.
Our nonverbal communication is huge. If you say something, but it doesn't look like you mean it, you say, oh, yeah, I really love you. Right? The tone of your voice, the posture, your eye contact, all of that kind of thing. People believe the nonverbal.
Yes.
Because we think that you're spending less time thinking about that. You're mm-hmm. thinking about what's coming out of your mouth. You're not necessarily fully paying attention to your posture and all that.
Yeah. Wow.
So I would say part of what taking a public speaking course or doing, you know, having options where you're doing kind of, you know, small presentations and that sort of thing is thinking about how you present yourself. One of the things I used to tell the young women is maybe wear a small, you know, wear a pair of heels because heels make you stand up straighter.
Mm-hmm.
They give you better posture.
And they give you that presence.
Right. They give you presence. So, you know, with all of these tools, the fact that we have, you know, a camera in our phone, have a friend, you know, you know, film you and look at what are you doing, you know, with your posture,
body language.
Are you connecting eye contact with the audience? Mm-hmm. Are you stopping? Mm-hmm. Are you using motion in a way that's useful? We used to joke about I worked with the speech and debate team for a number of years, and good speakers use their body motion to help their speech.
Yes,
when you move to a next point, you move your body, mm-hmm. and people kind of make that connection. And so just learning tricks like that.
Mm-hmm.
We now, after many, many years, have public speaking as one of the skill sets that you have to choose from here. And I would say it is probably one of the most useful that you can come away with. If you look at politicians today, lots of them did speech and debate. Lots of them learned to present publicly. You know, and when you look at when we've had panels of employers in or when you look at some of the articles on employers these days, some of the top five skills are all communication skills. It's speaking and writing clearly. It is being able to work with others well. It's be able to negotiate a conflict, right, and work through that in a smooth, smooth, manageable way that maintains everyone's relationships. It's being able to, manage others.
Yeah.
So it's all of these communication skills that end up on the top of things. And partly it's because employers say, well, I can teach them to do the accounting. I can teach them to, you know, work in this computer system. Yeah. But it's not most manager's skill set to teach somebody how to do that communicating well. And then, unfortunately, we'd love to be able to teach the managers to be better communicators.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Somebody was, I was talking to someone last night who is leaving a job he's been at probably 15 or 16 years. And he said his boss there was just terrible.
Mm.
She would come in and yell at people publicly.
Oh, wow.
She would, you know, shame folks. That is an absolutely horrible management strategy.
So bad.
And so, you know, he was saying he was looking forward to going into a new space.
Yeah.
And we would love to train managers. One of the problems that we find is both with managers and what we're finding with doctors and hospitals is if you've been successful in your career, you're less willing to admit that you might be able to learn something or that you're not doing it well. But in fact, many times you are. So hopefully, once people get beyond, you know, kind of this immediate, you know, working out into the work world and that, they'll continue to do professional development.
Mm-hmm.
They'll continue to hone their skills. They'll continue to listen to the feedback that they're getting from others on how they come across. I will say one thing. One of the things that we tell the folks in this conscious communication class is your homework is to go away and ask three people in your life how you come across as a communicator.
Interesting.
Right? Because, you know, if you can encourage them, they will tell you. And if you're a boss, if you're somebody in charge in an organization and you're not a good communicator, you are the last one to know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Everybody around you sees that, sees how you interact.
As you're talking, I'm just looking at all the people that I know and all my managers, and I'm like, oh, yeah,
Yeah. Take a class.
Your self-reflection. You already
went
through.
You needed a whole 6 months of that class. Body.
Intense.
Ooh, that was definitely intense for you. One of my other last question that I have, if you could give one final piece of communication advice to students or professionals, what would that be?
Well, we started off the time talking about improving yourself. These are a lot of skills that you have, but I think a really important one is, who is your audience?
Yes. Understand your audience.
What is their level of education? Mm-hmm. What is their belief system? Mm-hmm. You know, you are the person who can adapt to make this work for them, mm-hmm. to make the persuasion mm-hmm. work, mm-hmm. to make the language work. Mm-hmm. So think about who you're speaking mm-hmm. to.
Oh, mm-hmm. man.
Very important.
I really want to bring you back again because I'm like, this is so
very
good.
Very important.
I really like that because for me
personally, I have a huge amount of people that follow me on my social mm-hmm. media. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've done so many things in my life, you know, bodybuilding and,
right,
and fitness
right.
and coaching and training, you know, and now I'm transitioning to a whole different era with, I know that right now my audience is a little bit split, you mm. know, I'm trying to, I have people that are more into bodybuilding and physical stuff, and I have others I really want to interact and they want to learn more about other things, right, your way of thinking, you know, how you cope and heal with situations and things that comes in your life. So now my audience is a little bit, you know, split. And now I'm in the middle of trying to see how I get rid of the people that shouldn't be there. Because I know they will leave. And how I interact more with the people that I'm trying to build a community now with this new version of me. So
that's mm-hmm. huge when mm-hmm. you make a transition mm-hmm. like that. You have to reestablish your credibility
and
to
stay
speak
strong
on
with that. Yeah. Stay strong with that. Yeah.
That's gonna be that's oof. That's
yeah, I mean I'm in a difficult time right now.
You're in a transitional
I'm shifting and changing and so many things. So it's a little bit scary because you don't know where you're heading and you're trusting the journey. And sometimes you feel like you want to go back because you're mm-hmm. like, this is where I know and this is how I'm comfortable, you know, but change is good. And then once you start utilizing different communication tools to mm-hmm. be able to attract the right audience and build that persuasive communication that mm-hmm. we all try to build to attract the people that we're trying to build, it is so important. So.
Yeah. And I love that you're embracing this because change is hard for most people.
Yes.
Right? Yes. We tend to hold on to what we know, what mm-hmm. has been successful. Mm-hmm. But if you want to continue to grow as a person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You must.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, I mean, I have to. I mean, from time to time, too, like it's just the main ego, right? I'm always like, oh, yeah, I don't want to change. I'm comfortable where I am. And then, you know, you have somebody that's so strong comes in like, no, listen, mm-hmm. yeah, sometimes you need to. Mm-hmm. It just sticking to the same routine is okay, but are you evolving, right? Because it's all about change. It's all about evolving, right?
Yes.
It's finding the better version of yourself.
And what are you meant to be?
Exactly. And that is still part of somehow communication too, because mm-hmm. like you said, if you don't know how to articulate, how to have conversation, how to center yourself, then what are you doing? How do you step that up? Take classes.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with taking mm-mm. classes, mm-mm. you know? Do you think it's, for those that are struggling, it's a good thing to always say, okay, I'm struggling in this, especially as managers, as you've mentioned, maybe taking some kind of like speech classes or communication classes very important to them as far as just in general? Do you think it's a must?
And I'm sorry, and I also want to add in more into that question. What tools of communication they should be searching.
Gotcha.
I'm talking about books, podcasts, anything mm-hmm. that has assisting you along this journey to be able to improve your way of communicating.
Absolutely. Continue to do things. And there are so many different mm-hmm. options and opportunities out there now. It's not just classes, but mm-hmm. there are, you know, you can take things to get certified. You can take badges and those kind of things. But there also are on social media all sorts of options. Mm-hmm. Find ones that fit, you know, your current situation in life, how much time you have, the kind of energy you have to dedicate to that. But yeah, I mean, always be looking for these kind of things. Books, gosh, old school. You know, there are authors out there who are working on this kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, one of the things we talk about in communication classes is that our technology overall, but communication technology for sure, is now doubling in ways that our parents and grandparents could never have imagined. And so if you want to stay current, if you're still engaged in the workforce or wherever, you need to be paying attention to new trends, to new things that are happening. So, yeah, I would say look around for classes or, you know, form a group. We were talking about reconnecting. Form a group of people. Be each other's accountability. What was the word I heard? Accountability buddies or something like this anyway. But, you know, hold each other accountable. Come in and have, you know, 1 week I'm going to present on this thing that I, you know, excited about, a new cooking form or something, just so that you get that chance to, you know, practice your skills in a non, you know, critical situation, not something that's going to keep your job or not, but with friends, with people who are going to be good feedback.
Anything that you think that's very important we didn't cover today you would like us to cover? Just with all the questions we've asked you, I just want to make sure on this topic we didn't miss anything.
Yes.
If you wanted us to at least have that conversation. If not, we can always hold it for the next session because I feel like there's more to this.
Oh, yeah. We're coming back. Absolutely.
Maybe more deeper because I like the conscious communication. I'm sorry. It's catching up to me.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like it's down to my soul and spirit where I can't. And now I'm going to go home and do some homework because I really, not to challenge you, but I really want to come in and just be on more prepared in a way that, okay, conscious communication, because I want to look into this and look at the definition of it, what it's going to do in the future. I'm very curious of this. But just for now, if there's anything that you think we didn't cover, maybe you would like to tell the audience?
Well, you know, we talked about confidence. One of the courses that you were in with me years ago was gender and communication.
Gender and communication. Ooh. My favorite.
It is a huge goal of mine to get my women students more confident before they head out.
Wow. Yes.
Because, you know, you're talking about being a people, doing things for others. And being a people pleaser is still very much socialized into women. And one of the reasons women make less in the workforce is that they're seven times less likely to negotiate their salary at the beginning. And so, you know, everyone needs confidence, but I think that's one area that I particularly focus on. And, you know, part of my own story is that my mother went to medical school in 1960 when she was one of four women in a class of 150, one of only two who finished.
Wow.
So she was the pioneer, right? She took off. So I grew up not thinking there was anything I couldn't do.
Right.
But that's not the case for everyone. And so helping people see their own potential.
Their own potential.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
You heard it, woman. You've heard it. You heard what she said. Woman, she's trying to get you guys to woke up, especially in the world that we live today. We need it more than ever.
Absolutely.
You are the backbone of this country. So I hope that when you're listening, I will make sure if there's a way to reach out to her, she will let you guys know, maybe like via social media.
We will share
that at the end. So the only last thing I would like to cover, Dr. Carrie Strayer, Adelbein University professor, education, PhD in organizational communication, University of Texas at Austin, 1995, MA in politic communication, University of Cincinnati, 1987. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
Dr. Carrie Strayer is an experienced educator specializing in communication studies. She has taught courses such as communication theories, teamwork, organizational communication, gender, which she just mentioned, and communication. Additionally, she serves as the chairman of the Academic Affairs Committee on the Board of Trustees for Bluffton University. Correct if I'm wrong.
No, that's
people,
correct.
Come on. Iconic. Wake up. I'm trying to show her off because she deserves it.
Absolutely.
Okay?
A lot of work.
In the world that we live today where we're not giving our woman props because we're so used to our social media, I can do anything that I want. This is a woman that have all the experiences and knowledge, which I think her students are taking. Hopefully, students, if you're listening, I'm sure she's going to share this Spotify to you. If you're going to listen, pay attention. This woman is iconic. Consume as many knowledge of hers as you can.
Yes.
Ask, 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 ask. Thou shall be given. If you ask, thou shall be given. Take advantage of the opportunity. Because on our next pilot, I cannot wait to go over conscious communication.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm so excited.
No, I'm going to send you a book.
Oh, yes. Please send me a book so I can read it and be ready because I am so excited.
Yes.
Mama, I'm done. I'm so happy. I don't know if
now
you have anything
to add. Why I had all this week talking about Carrie.
Yeah.
I am honored that I had the opportunity to be your student.
And we do still need to go salsa dancing.
She hasn't forgotten about the salsa dance. Oh, I'm so honey. Oh, that's so good.
No, you know, one of the things that has been a loss for me is we have a lot less adult students at Otterbein these days. You know, they're doing other kinds of things.
Yes, and that's true.
I love my adult students. Actually, little secret, my husband was my student.
Whoa, wait a minute now. Yeah. Time out.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to get all personal right now.
I love that.
But how and when that happens?
Well, actually, he was in my interpersonal communication class my first semester here in 1999. Mm-hmm. He was an IT guy, had his associate's degree in that, but had recently divorced and was trying to improve his own skills in management. Mm-hmm. So he did organizational communication.
Wow.
And so it's a sort of long story, but he was finishing up and took a final class with me and asked me out, and
he definitely gained those communication tools from you, because now you guys are married for how long?
I'm 22 you,
years.
Man.
Wow.
That's so beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
I just want to say that. And I'm still tearing up because I every time I talked about how grateful and thankful I am to have the opportunity to have Carrie as my professor. Mm-hmm. I remember when I came to Otterbein, I was only the fourth or the fifth Latin student here in Otterbein University. Mm-hmm. So I was always the one that the professors will, you know, pick me to just kind of share my personal opinions. Because I was coming from a different background, from a different culture, you know, foreign student. So Otterbein University has been forever a wonderful university that has assisted me in develop the skills that I've been applying now. And I'm so grateful that I had the opportunity that Carrie was my professor and assisted me with everything that I needed.
That's beautiful. We're so grateful. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes.
So, all right. So, listeners, all right, come close. Come closer. All right, I need you to tune up those speakers because this is my final goodbye to you. Mm-hmm. As you saw, we have such a wonderful guest. This has been such a blessing. It's the energy has been right.
Yes.
She has given us this was kind of like sitting down with somebody that knows so much, and then you just go, we had
a little moment,
okay?
Yes.
But you have to understand it's hard work and dedication. You know how we always say, as long as you are laboring, those fruits will always come yes. out how you want them to be.
Absolutely.
But then you got to water down. You mm-hmm. can't just have seeds. You get to put it on soil and expect it to grow mm-hmm. into flowers.
Need to water
no.
that seed.
You
need to water.
Got to work.
Yes.
And then that's exactly what she just told us. Hey, listen, I had my seeds, planted it. I watered it down. I was patient. And then when they turned into fruits, I was able to enjoy those labor. We appreciate you so much.
Thank
Dr.
you
Karen.
So much for coming.
You are so
wonderful.
Welcome. This has been a great conversation.
That was a wonderful conversation. So again, listeners, and especially women, the most important thing that I keep hearing that she has mentioned again is I want to eliminate the conscious communication, but she said gender.
Yes.
And when she mentioned that, she was, my index is up. Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Woman, you are the future. Especially when it comes to communications. Please, please, Absolutely. Please, we want you all to pay attention. Of course, I don't want to take away from the man. Of course, I don't want to take away from the man. But it's just the experience that we want women to have. So again, how can people find you on social media or just anywhere?
I'm on Instagram, but not very present okay. there. But mostly,
you're more at Facebook.
I'm more of a Facebook. Okay. I'm old school, yeah.
Okay. Would that be
absolutely.
Okay for them to reach out to you via
certainly,
Facebook? And
certainly.
What will be your Facebook then? Like the name, is it just your
yeah,
first
it's just
last
her
name?
First,
I think
first
it's just my
name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You've heard of people. If you need to reach out, it's just her first and last name. And then so that will be Kerry, so K-E-R-R-Y, yes. and then Strayer, Strayer.
Yes.
Reach out to her. If they see, I'm sure there might be comments, Kerry Strayer, what picture do you have as your profile so they know it's you?
I think it's my it's a
okay.
professional headshot.
Because you know some people don't know. They're going to be like, there's so many. I want which yeah. one
and
is
we,
it?
And we will definitely make sure that we share her personal information on social
absolutely.
Media. But I just want to say to anyone who wants to have the opportunity to be teached by this wonderful lady, make sure you enroll to Ottawa University because mm-hmm. she is still a current mm-hmm. student teaching
Amazing.
All these communication tools to assist you in develop the right communication you need in whatever it is that you're trying to pursue in life.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. And for that note, we appreciate you. We love who you are. Always be that wonderful human being. Continue to do wonders in this world. Just understand one thing. You are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You are loved.
Yes.
You are loved and you are loved. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.